I'd like to invite you over to Judges chapter 6, verse 40. Judges chapter 6, verse 40. Judges 6, chapter 40 says, "And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for the truths in your word. Just pray that you would speak to us tonight, that you would help me with the words to say. Let this be applicable to our lives, and let it have a perspective of how much love you have for us, patience and kindness. Pray that you would bless this time and protect those that are apart from us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So tonight I want to talk to you, and the title, if you have titles, it's "Are You Sure, God?" We've had some discussion in Sunday school over this. It's how we question God and how we ask, "Are you sure?" So for a little context, I'm going to move back to chapter 6, reading in verse 1, Judges chapter 6, verse 1, to give a little context of where we are. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. Here we go. Israel, once again, forsaking the Lord, embracing their sins and their wickedness, forgetting the blessings and the miracles they have been witness to. In verse 2, the Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they camped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel. For neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." So here we see that once again, the nation of Israel is committing evil. They've forsaken the Lord, and the Lord has forsaken them and delivered them in the Midianites. And they found themselves in a desolate and barren land with nothing. Again, nothing because of their evil. But God reminds them of their promise. We go on with verse 7. "And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, I brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out before you, from before you, and gave you their land." So here God is reminding us, reminding them of the promises. And how much love does and patience the Lord has. He took the time, even in their evil, he sent a prophet. He sent a prophet to bring their attention to what God has done for them, to remind them. And it's comforting to know that even these people that have witnessed God's hand firsthand are patiently being reminded of God's promises. And I think we and I take that as a great comfort in knowing that the Lord will be just as loving, just as patient, and just as kind to us when we forget or we don't remember completely the promises, regardless of the blessings or events that we've witnessed in our own lives, even if they aren't not the same as Israel. So we move on to 11. We see Gideon being called by God. In 11 it says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained under Joash the Abizite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen on us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Gideon said, why then has all this befallen us? We see, just like we do, we see Gideon questioning the promise of God. He's asking, why has this happened? Why have we been put in the hand of the Midianites? And jump down to 15, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I have Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. So Gideon not only questioned the promise of God, now he's questioning or doubting himself, his abilities. He's maybe even making excuses and starting to refuse why he might not be the one to call. But guess what? Verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Gideon said, are you sure, God? And 16, we see God says, yes, Gideon, you. But he continues. Gideon continues in 17, and he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Show me a sign. And if that isn't a sure and an official, are you sure, God? I don't know what is. And whether, you know, we discuss it's right to ask God for a sign, we see Gideon doing it here, verse 17. But then he goes on in 18. Gideon says, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. Gideon says, wait here. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid of the 11th cake of the ephah of flour, the flesh he put in a basket. And he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, take the flesh and the 11th cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the 11th cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the 11th cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Yes, Gideon, you. Gideon was asking for a sign. And the angel gave it to him. The angel even waited for him to go prepare the present and come back and showed him the sign. There was patience. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, verse 22, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Gideon has made a promise that should have ended all his doubt. That should have been the end of it. God said, thou shalt not die. To Gideon, personally, individually. In verse 24, we pick up, because of this, Gideon then built an altar here unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom unto this day, as it yet in Ophrah the Abin is. And what we see here through verses 24 through 32 that I'm going to skip through and summarize is that Gideon builds an altar to the Lord. Then Gideon, under the instruction of the Lord, goes to tear down the altar his father had built for Baal. And because of that, the next day, the men wanted to kill Gideon. But we see those that were intent on killing him, his death is taken away. We see the promise of God in 23, thou shalt not die, fulfilled. Yes, Gideon, you. Promise made, promise kept. So I jumped to 36, we see if thou wilt. And Gideon, who has already had a sign, has already been saved from death, says it again. Are you sure, God? And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, 37, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, Then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, and as thou hast said. Yes, Gideon, you. But we go on. That's not enough for Gideon. Are you sure, God? Are you really sure? In 39, we jump down and it says, And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. Are you sure you want to use me, God? And in 40, God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Yes, Gideon, you. So some of the discussion we had in Sunday school was, does God grow impatient or God get tired of us asking him, am I doing the right thing? Are you sure it's me? Are you sure it's what you want me to do? And I believe that God is so loving and so patient that when he hears us say, are you sure, God, one more time, just like Gideon says, don't get mad. Just don't get mad. I know you just did this sign. The angel did a sign. Can I have one more? And God gave him that sign. So how can such a loving God not understand his heart, our heart, that desperately wants to walk in his light and please him and live in his will? So some of our discussion was, can you ask for a sign? Can you ask for confirmation? Are you sure it's me, Lord? Are you sure? And I think God always says, yes, I have chosen you. Yes, I want to use you. And I want to close with a little testimony over this process that I've had in my life. There was a time a few years ago that I had taken a different job. It was part of my testimony that I'd given before where I had taken a different job within my company on my own decision, on my own emotions and my own feelings, and a little bit of spite for things that had happened, but I kept God out of it. I didn't ask him into it. I didn't say, are you sure, God? Is it sure you want me to do this? I did this. I did it, and with a short amount of time, I was miserable. I hated it. I couldn't stand it. But because I realized that I had not included God in the first time, when I tried to escape that job that I was in, I was only going to do so if God was with me. And the whole time, through my anxiety and through my lack of confidence, it was always, are you sure, God? Are you sure? Is this the right step? What decision do I make? And I started praying for guidance in a way that I just wanted God to lead in my life. I was sensitive. I was trying to be in tune without my emotions, without my passion, and more in tune with God's will. What did God want in my life? And just like Gideon asking for signs, I just asked for open doors and closed doors. And I said, where the door is open, I will walk. Where the door is closed, I will be happy. And I will follow that path. So getting out of that job is I applied for a manager position, thinking to escape where I was at. And all through my process of getting ready for these grueling interviews, 3 1-hour gauntlet type interviews, I was sleeping 3 hours a night, waking up in a pool of sweat with what they call night sweats, half crazy from lack of sleep and not being able to keep my thoughts. I got through those interviews with God's grace, and because of what I prayed, I believe I followed the path. I was invited to the next level, and I took that as an open door, and I agreed to go to the next level, and I thanked God for the open door. And as we got to that next level, at the very end, it came down to 2 candidates, myself and one other. And as I got closer to that time, I realized I really didn't want this job. I was trying to escape, but I'd asked God to play in my life. I'd asked for his participation. And I prayed hard for an open door and a closed door. And the day they were going to make the decision, I was an absolute nervous wreck because I had prayed for an open door or a closed door. And I was afraid the door would be open. And I had committed to follow God that if the door was open, I would walk through that door, no matter what it was. And if it was that job, I'd take the job that I personally didn't want to take now. But I wanted to follow God's will with his perfect wisdom of knowing what was best for me. So the day came and sat down and the door was closed. I was told they were going with the other candidate. And I had a smile come across my face so wide, the guy that told me I didn't get the job was totally confounded. Didn't know what happened. I hope I didn't insult him. And the other candidate that was a friend of mine was telling me how sorry I was I didn't get the job. And he didn't know inside that I was praising God for closing the door for me and doing what he wanted. And I was trying to be sensitive to follow what he wanted. And it was a relief. It was great. I followed that path. And once that happened, and seeing those doors open and close, and God getting me through that time, and realizing that he was there, I realized to give him his time, and I will be faithful to follow, and just do what I can, and keep my eyes open for those open doors. And the greatest part of that was that within 6 months, somebody on my old team left the company, and I was invited to come back to my old team without even asking for it, without even thinking about it. That door was just burst wide open for me. And once I was comforted and purposed in that, that changed my life. It changed how I thought about how I do things and how I look for guidance in my life. So, are you sure, Lord? I think he's okay with asking because he sure answers and he says, yes, you. He says, yes, I want you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you that you are so loving and kind, to have the patience for us, that you are in control of our lives and that we just have to recognize to give over to that faith that you are going to bring us through any and all circumstances that might scare us, that might delight us, and that the end result is so much more enjoyable, so much more joy and peace when we find those open doors and we end at that spot that you would have on our lives. Just pray that you would give us the ability to have the recognition, the sensitivity to see those doors. We also praise and thank your name that you allow us to ask you, are you sure? It's for our Lord's name we pray. Amen.